Hello, friends, and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. Goodness gracious, I have missed saying those words, but I've enjoyed a break. This is Mary, and it's my pleasure to read God's Word to you. We're picking up today in Deuteronomy chapter 15, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. It's interesting to me that the title says a year for canceling debts. And that word debts has such deep meaning for me, especially in light of what we've been reading in Colossians about how Jesus is the one who has canceled our debt, which stood to condemn us. And he took our debt and he nailed it to the cross, as it says in Colossians 2 in verse 14. Okay, I'm going to pick up here in verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. However, there need be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you, if only you obey fully the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will toward the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Man, this is a challenging passage reminding us that generosity is a mark of the Christian. And it's explaining here that, you know, near the time of canceling debts, people might have had the inclination to say, I'm not going to, lend to someone because I'll never get my money back. Have you ever thought that? I'll never get my money back in this situation. And I believe that the Lord has a different economy. He wants us to lend in a way that we don't care if we get our money back, because we realize that everything we have is a gift from him. Okay, let's move on to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 59. I am loving going through these Psalms again and again, and I hope you are as well. This says, "For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a miktam, when Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him. Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Be my fortress against those who are attacking me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from those who are after my blood. See how they lie in wait for me? Fierce men conspire against me for no offense or sin of mine. Lord, I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me. Look on my plight. You, Lord God Almighty, you who are the God of Israel, rouse yourself to punish all the nations. Show no mercy to wicked traitors. They return at evening, snarling like dogs, and prowl about the city. See what they spew from their mouths? The words from their lips are sharp as swords, and they think, "Who can hear us?" But you laugh at them, Lord. You scoff at all those nations. You are my strength. I watch for you. God, you are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely. God will go before me and will let me gloat over those who slander me. But do not kill them, Lord, our shield, or my people will forget. In your might, uproot them and bring them down. For the sins of their mouths and for the words of their lips, let them be caught in their pride. For the curses and lies they utter, consume them in your wrath. Consume them till they are no more. Then it will be known to the ends of the earth that God rules over Jacob. They return at evening, snarling like dogs, and prowl about the city. They wander about for food and howl if not satisfied. But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. You are my strength. I sing praise to you. God, you are my fortress, my God, on whom I can rely. The Psalms often get me on both sides. Like, I think of myself as the attacker, right? The snarling dog who prowls about the city, who spews words from their mouths. I think about times when I talk and I say things that are not kind, and the Lord knows. He hears our words. And I've been thinking recently about tenderness and how we as a people are called to be tender-hearted and kind, not only in our actions, but even more so in our words. And then on the flip side, sometimes we're the ones about whom people are spewing those words, or people are attacking us. Maybe not like David. They're not hiding out for us and waiting to attack us. But we feel this sense of being watched, or that others around us are always looking for us to mess up. And I think that God gives us such words for who He is and His character here. It says, "You are my strength. You are my fortress." That can speak to us in so many ways. "My God, on whom I can rely." What are you worried about today? What brings you great pain? I just commend to you that statement. Lord, you are my God on whom I can rely. It's so important that it was spoken twice in this psalm. So I think that's a good reminder for us that God is our fortress and our refuge in times of trouble. Okay, we better move on. Let's go over to Colossians in chapter 3 and verses 1 through 17. The title in my Bible says, "Living as those made alive in Christ." Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is a beautiful passage that reminds us of God choosing us as His holy and dearly loved people. In response to His choosing, we are to act with compassion and kindness and all of the attributes that are listed here. We're to bear with one another and forgive as the Lord forgave us. But did you hear what we were supposed to put on top of all of these virtues? We are to put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be together, to hear from your word, to listen to your Spirit, to be reminded that we can rely upon you, that you are our ever-present help in times of need. We thank you, Lord, for the many gifts that you have given us. Each of us is different, but you have gifted us so much. Thank you for physical bodies, for the ability to think and to learn. Thank you, Lord, for the resources that you've provided. Thank you for Mount Brook Baptist and all of our churches. We pray, Lord, that the message of Christ would dwell richly among us. We are reminded, Lord, that you took on our debt and have freed us. Help us to generously give as you gave. And whatever we do today, Lord, whether it is in word or deed, help us, Lord, to remember that we are living as Christ lived, because we are now grafted into his family. Thanks be to you, Lord God, for all your many blessings. Thank you, Lord Christ, for giving of yourself, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us today. We love you. Amen.